Genesis, starting at chapter number 29. Chapter 29 of Genesis, the story of Laban and Jacob and Leah and Rachel. We're going to be starting at verse number 16 this morning. Genesis 29, verse 16 says, "And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, 'I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.' And Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me.' And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love that he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her.' And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went into her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zelpheth of his maid for a handmaiden. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, 'What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?' And Laban said, 'It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled his week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to his wife. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. I want to talk to you this Mother's Day about the legacy of Leah. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. It is powerful, it is mighty. I ask that our hearts would be open, our ears would hear your words. In your name, amen. Now, most of us know somewhat, possibly, the story of Rachel and Leah. We know that Leah, as it was described in the King James, it says was tender-eyed. Some translations say weak-eyed. Some of them say that the name Leah doesn't just mean weak-eyed, but also means cow-eyed or as a cow. But Rachel, oh, she had a sparkle. She had a twinkle. She had a good figure. She was attractive. But Leah, let's just call it, she looked like a cow. Now, gentlemen, let me tell you how not to have a good Mother's Day. How not to have a good anniversary. In fact, how not to have any good days at all. Every morning when you get up, look at that lovely thing next to you and say, "Oh, you look like a cow." Or, "You know, when I look at you, you remind me of a cow. You have a face of a cow. You have eyes like a cow." Gentlemen, there's not enough clothes or jewelry or anything else to get you out of that hole. Trust me. But that's Leah's part in life. She was the oldest, but she wasn't the prettiest. Nobody wanted Leah. If someone had wanted her, she'd have been married by then. But she wasn't. And so what happens? Oh, she finally gets married. Woohoo! How's she get married? Her father throws a huge party, gets his son-in-law as intoxicated as he possibly can, puts heavy veils upon his daughter's countenance, and slides her into the tent. Now, how does that build your self-confidence? And the next morning, when he comes around and he comes to himself and he rolls over and he sees actually who he's with, he tears out of the tent to the father-in-law saying, "What on earth have you done to me? What is that thing in my tent? Who is that? I worked all these years for Rachel, not her." Poor Leah. Can you imagine how she must have felt? Then she finds out that her father makes another deal and says, "Look, if you'll just put up with her for the week, go through the rest of the week the way the tradition, the way it's supposed to be. If you'll just put up with her for the rest of the week, at the end of that week, we'll have another marriage. You can have Rachel, and everything will be all right. But you got to work for me 7 more years. Okay. Immediately, the week is over. He gets Rachel. They have another marriage. Boom. Leah is all but forgotten. Wow. Talk about needing counseling. Leah had problems. Leah had lots of opportunities to say, "Poor little old me." But Leah has a legacy. Because you see, as you begin to read, then the Bible says that the Lord blessed her with a child. And that first child, oh, she was excited. She had that first child, Reuben. She said, oh, what excitement. I know my husband now will love me. Reuben, didn't happen. She has a second child. Oh, now I know for sure that the praise of my husband, the joy of my husband will be there. She has a third one. Oh, surely now with the third one, my husband will care for me. Nope. Folks, can you imagine? After Reuben, and after Levi, and after Simeon, still no joy, no peace, no acceptance from her husband. Every time she named the child, talking about how she knew that now her husband would love her. Nope. Then she had her fourth son. And Leah's legacy changed. She named him Judah, meaning praise to God. She wasn't concerned about her husband any longer. She said, "I will give praise to my God who hath blessed me." Eventually, through Leah and her handmaiden, she is responsible for 2/3 of the tribes of Judah. Now, let's look at Leah's legacy. From the tribe of Levi comes Moses and Aaron and Miriam and the entire priestly lineage of the tribes of Israel. through Judah comes Boaz, and comes Jesse, comes David, comes the kings. Also from the tribe of Judah comes both Mary and Joseph. And your genealogies of Matthew and Luke shows that from either Mary or Joseph come Christ. Oh, but not only that, but did you know the kings of the tribe of Judah, when the country was split into two, you had the tribes of Israel and the tribes of Judah. They all come from Leah's descendants as well. Did you know of the 12 spies? We only have two that give a good report. Caleb is of the lineage of Leah. Now, one that can't trace their bloodline but has to trace their lineage to Leah in the New Testament, believe it or not. A gentleman by the name of Paul was actually a Benjamite. How many of you know what happened to Rachel right as she had Benjamin? She died. So who did it fall to raise the newborn child? Leah. Think about this. All supposedly Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they were all of the Levi tribe. They were priests in their own rights. So all of those books of the Bible, Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, written by Leah. Flip to the New Testament. All of the books of Paul can be tied to the legacy of Leah. Think about what our culture, us as Americans, our legacy to Leah. Well, Brother Jeff, how can you say? I'm not Jewish. Who did Paul take his message to? To the Greeks, to the Romans. He was the first missionary. He was sent out to proclaim the gospel to those yet to hear. And from Leah comes the modern missionary. I'm just talking to you about one doe-eyed, cow-eyed, weak-eyed, forgotten lady. Leah has a legacy. Leah had the opportunity in her life to say, "Oh, woe is me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. My husband doesn't care for me. My father doesn't love me. Why should I even care?" But Leah had a faith in God. Well, Brother Jeff, how can you prove that one? When it got time for her husband and her sister and her handmaidens to leave, her sister, the pretty one, the one everybody liked, the one her husband thought was special, said, "I'm going to take our household idols as well. Because you know what? I might need to pray to them. I might need to have some help with them as well, leaving my mama and daddy." But Leah would have nothing to do with it. Leah had an understanding of what God was and who he was and how he would take care of her and her family. Look at her children's names. Look at the dedication she put into serving a man who would have nothing to do with her. Ladies, I want to tell you today, there might be people in your life who discount you. There might be people in your life who very seldom give you a pat on the back or a word of encouragement. Maybe they don't see the wealth and the beauty that is you. They compare you to your sister. They compare you to other people in the family. They compare you to some image that they see on TV or magazine or movie. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're never, ever exactly what I wanted. I settled. Let me tell you something. God made you in his image. He made you in his image. And if somebody has a problem with the way you look, tell them to take it up with the maker, not with the model. Because you see, we are fitfully and wonderfully made, the scripture says, each and every one of us. But ladies, if someone tries to put you into a cookie cutter to make you look a certain way or act a certain way or talk a certain way or be something that you're not, remember the legacy of Leah. She never changed. She didn't allow the issue with her husband and the issue with her sister to affect her. And she was faithful. And believe it or not, eventually, as the story from Paul Harvey says, the rest of it goes, Rachel, who had died, was buried in Bethel. But eventually, Leah died and was buried with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. And as her husband, who her entire life had looked down on her, as he prepared to die, and he called his boys in, Joseph and the rest of them, there in Egypt, he said, bury me with Leah, the one I love. You see, she was faithful. In everything of her life, she continued to do what she was called to do. She continued to do the work of a mother, of a helper, of an encourager when no one else would. She wasn't deceitful. She didn't try to manipulate things like her sister, like her father. And because of that, she is found as the love of his life. Leah ended a winner, whether she knew it or not. Because you see, she never lived to see David. She didn't live to see Caleb. She didn't live to see all of the legacy that she would leave upon her family, her nation, and the world. She didn't live to see it, but her legacy lived on. Today, all Jews tie their lineage to one individual, Judah, the fourth son, the son of praise. All of the promises of the children of Israel rest upon the legacy of Leah. Now, I realize that Revelation states that at the end of time, the other tribes will be found. Yes, I understand Scripture. But even then, two-thirds of them belong to her. That's a pretty good percentage for someone who looked like a cow, had weak eyes. Ladies, let me ask you. In all of your dealings with your children, your nephews, your nieces, your grandkids, all of those that look to you, whether you're their mother or not, over the years, all of the things that you've put up with, gone through, would you truly give it up? Would you truly say it wasn't worth it? I wish I hadn't have had the problem. I wish I hadn't have had the kids in my life. I'm going to tell you today, every one of you would say no. But you know what? It's worth the heartache. It's worth the trials. It's worth the trouble. Because you know, in the end, the only thing you ladies can leave is a legacy for those around you. Those people that you influence, sometimes you might not even know. Some of you might say, well, I wasn't blessed with children of my own. No, but you have impacted people your whole life. You might say, well, I only had one child, or I only had a small family, or I was a single parent. And so, what impact do I have? You never know the legacy you'll leave. One small pebble leaves multiple ripples in the pond. You don't know how far-reaching your legacy might be. So it's important on a day like Mother's Day to make sure you have the right relationship and the right legacy, the right words and actions. You see, on this day, we talk about women of faith, ladies, mothers who have impacted the world. And I am reminded, being Easter was just a couple of weeks ago, that one of the final talks from the cross concerned a legacy as well. For on that day, stretched out between two thieves, Jesus looked to John and said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He wanted the legacy of his life and his impact be remembered positively, and not put his mother through the next few hours. Scripture says, and immediately she went to John's house and remained there for the rest of her life. Immediately, that very hour. Why? The legacy she had left him made him who he was. But the legacy he was sharing would make the world right with his Father. And all of that comes from back down the road from a little lady who, for all intention purposes, wasn't looked upon as a winner, as a pretty person, as someone we want to style our life after. And yet, the legacy of Leah lives on in all of our lives. Let's continue that and make an impact on the next generation and the next and the next. Both ladies and gentlemen. Let us pray.